Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
A safe place where we have the freedom to think about life without judgment. We take a look at society, we examine it, and we allow for the possibility of something new, something different. And now, here's your host, Alan Ritter.
Welcome, everyone, to another Sunday night at 9 p.m. and another exciting episode of An Emerging Forest. And this week, another guest who was introduced to me by my very dear friend, Laurie Cagno, is Mirabai Moon. Hi, Mirabai.
Hi, Alan. Good to be here.
So everybody has a story, and everybody that comes on this program sort of has I was walking around minding my own business, trying to be, quote-unquote, model citizen in our society, and I don't know what happened to me, but somehow I'm over here now. So Do you have a similar, hey, a piano fell on me or something like that?
I think I was always on the fringe, Alan. I was on the fringe, and then I tried to live a normal, like, societally acceptable life, and ended up back on the fringe. And by the fringe, I mean, just like, I've always been a very creative person, you know, ever since I was a young child. I was just in love with music and dance and singing and art and, I never really quite fit in, and didn't understand why I didn't fit in. But anyway, so I would say, you know, there's been periods of my life where I tried to fit the role, like, you know, be more practical, what people kind of expected of me. And when I graduated college in 1990, I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life. I knew I always loved music. I actually studied music in college, and I ended up with a degree in philosophy and religion. So kind of ironically, I'm doing what I studied in college in some kind of a weird way. I'm a spiritual musician. So, but before that all went down, I really didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. And at the time, I knew that I just wanted to travel across country, and I wanted to see the country before I got sucked into the grind that, you know, everybody gets, or a lot of people get sucked into, the kind of 9-to-5 job, you know, paying the bills, doing that kind of stuff. And you know, something that I've grown into and is this realization that, you know, you can be a productive member of society and do what you love. And, you know, not everybody really gives themselves permission to do that. So my whole journey has been about giving myself permission to do that. And it started on that trip across country in 1990 and just trying to figure out what exactly it was that I wanted to do with my life. And I remember being in Taos, New Mexico, and this guy that we met did this animal medicine card reading for me. And I don't really remember much about the reading except for this one card that came up. It was a dragonfly. And he said to me, you know, you're trying to be too practical in the way you're approaching like your direction in life. What is your wildest dream? What is your bliss? Follow your bliss. That's what you need to do. And that night, like, I mean, I had studied music, like as I've sung all my life, but I didn't play another instrument. And that night I had these visions of being in a circular theater, and I was playing guitar in the vision, and the audience was somehow co-creating the music with me. And at the time I had, what?
No, I mean, it's perfect. I mean, I'm just reacting. You're saying, oh, and the audience is co-creating the music. And I'm like,
exactly.
Oh, that sounds like
and
kirtan
at that
to
time,
me.
It does, but I didn't know about kirtan then. I had no idea.
I know.
I wasn't into yoga. Like, I didn't know anything about this, but I'm having this vision, and I was so blissed out from this vision, and I was... And it seemed like everywhere I went after that on my trip across country, there was always a guitar hanging around, and somebody even actually loaned me their guitar for 3 weeks to go down to the Keys in Florida, and I returned it to him. And right before I got back home after being on the road for 3 months, my aunt, I visited her, and she gave me my first guitar. So it was like guitars were just being thrust at me, like, play guitar. And I ended
right.
up moving out to Austin, Texas, and started teaching myself to play guitar. And I began songwriting. And like 2 years later, I was, you know, playing my own gigs and pursuing a career as a singer-songwriter. But it wasn't until much later that I found out about kirtan. And in fact, so that was like in 1990, and it wasn't until like 2011 that I started playing kirtan. I didn't
wow.
know about it. Yeah.
Wow.
So it was a kind of a long, windy path. And in the midst of all that, I think it was 1997, I was just living hand to mouth, working at Starbucks of all places, and, you know, trying to make a career happen as a songwriter. And my transmission went on my truck, and I really had no money to fix it. And so at the age of 30, like, I'm going back to my mom's house with my tail between my legs, you know, to live at home and work until I saved up enough money to fix my car. And a couple months later, my mom had like this massive, massive stroke. And, and so it was kind of amazing that I happened to have been living at home at that time so I could take care of her. And it's like my whole life seemed to have changed at that point. I started working office jobs, and I was, you know, not gigging as much. And then I met this man who I ended up marrying, and who is an amazing musician, by the way, but very like a homebody. Like he's not your typical, like, you know, chasing the dream musician. Like he just, you know, wants to stay home and teach music for a living and live a very low key life. And So like for like a decade, I totally like buried my dream of pursuing music in that way. And it wasn't until like I got divorced that I like gave myself permission to pursue this again. And right around that time, I found out about Kirtan. So it's no mistake that, you know, I wasn't doing the music I was supposed to be doing before, and therefore wasn't really getting where I wanted to go. And once I, you know, made the connection between spirituality and music, like things started to really, you know, sprout wings for me. But I just wanted to say, too, that around that time, so much of my journey has been around, I want to say the law of attraction. And it wasn't until I found out about Abraham Hicks and, you know, and all that kind of quantum physics type of like how energy works, that things started to really shift for me. And
yeah,
in a really beautiful way.
One of the things that I like to think about is I like to think about the soul as always getting what it wants. So while we might look at experience and say, well, linearly, I was doing, quote unquote, what I should, in big quotation marks, have been doing. These other years over here, when I was doing something that was kind of off track, I don't, you basically look at those and say, I wasn't really following what I should have been following. But I look at that and I say, wait a minute, the soul doesn't waste time. It's not around. So the soul is this big mouth, and it's at the end of a conveyor belt, and all of the click 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 instants of experience that are coming and falling in to the mouth is something that soul has manifested as building blocks for its infinite matrix. Each of the little squares on the matrix is a little part of a mastery of each and every different untold numbers of experience pieces. You know, mastery of relationships, mastery of music.
I think you need to have the contrast of what you don't want to really come into a fuller realization of what you do want and figure out how to align yourself with that.
Well, I look at it basically saying, okay, we have opinions about what happened to us, but it happened, therefore the soul ate that and said, you know, regardless of what your opinion is about what just happened to you, I needed that. And you can sit there and, you know, I can sit there and say, that wasn't quite what I wanted to have happen, and these cards over here suit me better. But the soul is having a big joke saying, well, I ate it just the same, and I made it happen just the same. And you actually really needed that experience. I mean, you don't understand, because we don't understand ourselves. We just, we don't look in the mirror and say, it's really hard to understand how I could be so good at this talent, because at some point I had to start learning this, and I obviously have put in a really large amount of time to get this good at this, and I'm only 14 years old. Or I'm only 25 years old. So the mastery of this thing that I'm really, really good at had to start before this lifetime.
Mm.
So my thought process basically says, death basically, you know, death of a body isn't death of the experiencer. And
oh, yeah.
whether you say that's one being or whether you say that's many individuals, it kind of says to you, you're a really, really old person, but you're the one that you should put first, because you're the person that's actually got the palate, the taste that you want is not like the person next to you, because they're a completely different conveyor belt and a big mouth than you are. So this consensual society where we say everybody should be the same is very strange, because everybody's so different and everybody really
yeah.
wants something completely different.
Yeah. And
so,
look how beautiful the world is because of diversity. You know, it would be pretty boring if everything was the same.
Right. So
yeah.
we sort of have an opinion or multiple opinions about even stuff that we do ourselves. And then
right.
we have a huge number of opinions about what everybody else does. But they're really part of a larger rainbow or flower or diversification that we really need to say, okay, while I really might not get what that person or that group of people is doing over there, we really need to have even more diversity.
Mm-hmm.
And we really need to have a society that instead of the present society basically says less diversity is better. Basically, if we don't understand it, we need to get our Navy and our Air Force and go over and destroy it so we can put another McDonald's and another Costco up.
Oh, God,
and basically include them in the Federal Reserve Bank and things like that. So the opposing philosophy is one saying, okay, you don't understand it, that's actually a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of this culture is basically constantly fans the fears of diversity. And we see a decreasing amount of diversity, a decreasing what I like to call fertility of mind.
Mm.
And that's the foundation upon which the idea of an emerging forest actually rests, where it's saying, let's go in the other direction, or let's have a radio program that goes in the other direction. To everyone listening out there, I'd actually like to encourage you to call in. This is a live radio program. We are live. The number to call in is 646-564-9714. And we do have a caller. Do you mind if I bring them on the air, Mirabai?
Not at all.
Hello, caller.
Hey,
what's your name?
It's David calling in.
Oh, hi, David.
Hi,
this
David.
This is David Whitman.
Hi.
He is graciously calling in. He's my co-host when he's not in New York City doing movies and things like that.
Nice.
Yeah, how are you tonight?
Very good. How are you?
Good. I'm fine. I'm doing well. So you're how do you say your first name, by the way? I want to make sure I say it correctly.
Oh, Mirabai.
Mirabai. Okay. And and you do is it kirtan? Is that how you say that?
Kirtan. I think most of us in the West say kirtan, but I don't believe that's correct.
I didn't think it was.
I don't even say it right. I hear Indian people say kirtan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But anyway, yes, I do. I've been doing that and sound healing work. I use crystal singing bowls and chimes and chakra drums and rattles and all kinds of stuff. Fun percussion toys.
So you use
exploratory.
So how does that work? How do you use is it the vibration of the sound that does the healing, or?
Yeah, it started with crystal singing bowls. I usually do it kind of meditation style. I often collaborate with yoga teachers that do restorative yoga work. But ideally, we have people like relaxing and closing their eyes and just taking in the sound. And the vibration of the crystals is pretty powerful. You probably already know about crystals being transmitters because they use the crystals in like computers and watches and all that. So I always like to think that, you know, if I'm having a healing intention or even chanting mantras that are healing, that the vibration of the sound of the crystals is kind of channeling that energy and amplifying it. And, you know, people are receiving that. And if you're in the room with them, you can really feel the sound physically in your body, the vibration of it. It's very beautiful. And just the pure tones of the singing bowls are very beautiful. And I like to kind of circle the room with, you know, different rattles and sometimes like an ocean drum that sounds like the ocean, or like a frame drum that has a nice deep resonant sound, and get up nice and close to people so they can feel the vibration in their body. And certain instruments work in certain ways, like the rattles I feel like are really clearing of an energy and just kind of moving it, where some of the other instruments sounds feel more like you're taking something in. It's like almost like the sound is massaging you. But it's very meditative. It helps people relax and get into a very present in the now, clearing their minds and just receiving. It's very beautiful.
Were you trained for that, or is it something that's more, I guess the thing is, there's so many instances, there's, I need to get certified in this. I need to take a class in this. I need to learn this. But how much of it can someone just create their own thing and even do it as a way to help others?
I think people can do it intuitively. You know, I think it depends on how tuned in you are to energies I mean, there certainly are training courses in sound healing, and I've done some like a weekend long trainings or like conferences, like up at Menla. Every once a year, they have a sound healing retreat put on by Sage Healing Arts, and I did work with them. And but yeah, I haven't gone through like a formal certification process, but you know, I do have a certification in yoga, and been doing music my whole life, so I feel like I'm pretty intuitive with it, and people are responding really well to it, so I'm kind of going with that.
And how would, you know, how would someone listening start to doing sound healing for themselves or others? What are some ways that they can start that?
I would say get yourself some instruments and explore. You know, or if you feel like you want some guidance with it, I would just Google online sound healing certifications. There certainly are some really good programs out there. And I've been interested in doing that myself, but most of the certification programs, they work with the Tibetan singing bowls, which are like a metal singing bowls. Mm-hmm. They're made of mixed metals. And I'm not ready to start buying a whole lot of metal singing bowls. All these things can be quite expensive. I've spent thousands of dollars on crystal singing bowls, and I don't really know anybody who's working, doing trainings with those. I'm sure they're out there, but like I said, most of the people are using those Tibetan singing bowls in these sound healing mm-hmm. training programs. And they actually, it's lovely. They, you know, they actually put the bowls on people's bodies. So mm-hmm. you'll have a person reclining and they'll, you know, have several of these Tibetan singing bowls placed on the body or above the head. And so when they're striking them, you know, the sound is really going right in your body because it's on you. But I find right. for doing sound healing meditations that the Tibetan bowls don't quite project sound-wise as far as the crystal singing bowls do. The crystal yeah. ones are much more audible. So in some ways, they fit my needs at this time and space better than mm-hmm. I feel that the metal ones were. And I'm just not ready to make a financial commitment to start buying more stuff in a whole other, you know, genre of sound healing.
Right.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I mean, some people do the gongs and they're amazing too. And it's just like, oh my God, if I start buying gongs, I'm just like,
where does
I'm
going to
be in so much debt. Where does it end? Yeah. So you just find what you like and go with that, you know.
Well, the other thing is, I mean, as far as minimalism and as far as quote-unquote stuff in capital neon letters, you can just go and go and go and go and go. And
yeah.
if you get into this with a philosophy of more is not necessarily better, I can still put this sound, I can still put my intention into a room filled with this sound, and
mm-hmm.
that should be, that should cover it. And so the Tibetan bowls, or the bowls in general, or the projector of vibration in general, is only going to quote unquote bring the room into attention. So it doesn't really matter. Well, I'm probably going to get I'm less than a neophyte, and there probably is something. There probably is a reason for the other instruments, but I would think from a minimalist standpoint, you would basically say, I have a finite amount of space, and I have a finite. It's not even saying long term. I have a finite budget. It's basically, I'm moving around. This is how much I can carry.
Mm-hmm.
And the word master doesn't cut it. I want to become elite level or grandmaster or god level on these bowls, and I feel that if you split your hours of practice over too many modalities, you miss out on taking the one instrument to the most effective treatment, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, that being said, I do play a lot of different instruments, and one of them being a harmonium, which is I just started, like, you know, maybe 5 years ago or something, and only in the last, say, year or two have I really, really started using it in a serious way, and I love it. I love this sound of it. It's just like, it's like an instrument that's always chanting Om. You know, it's just got this vibration that's so deep and so soulful, and it's pretty amazing.
I tend to a kirtan circle when they're using harmonium. It adds an entire different element to it. I live in Philadelphia, and there's a yoga studio where they do kirtan every Tuesday, and it's really fun. I've been the last few weeks. I'm not always in town, but you know, reaches a circle and does the kirtan, different chants, and the person there who leads the yoga studio, the owner, he plays harmonium, and it's really cool. I don't know if you're familiar with Philadelphia that much, but you want to check out.
Played in Malvern a couple times at Inner Source Healing. Familiar with them, but I haven't played in Philadelphia except for the Philadelphia Chant Festival. I played a couple June ago. Yeah.
Look up Palo Santo. That's the yoga studio, and you may want to touch base. Maybe they may want to come in and have you do something.
Thank you for the lead.
Plays harmonium, and so why not? You know, let you know what's going on. It brings people together, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, kirtan brings people together.
Mm-hmm.
It's really sweet. I love that. It's not about performing, it's about us just all coming together and singing together. And there's something just so special about that. And ironically, I was going to say, my other thing that has been my living since I kind of decided that I just wanted to do music for a living is I teach an early childhood music program, and it's called Music Together. And so that's really sweet. So my whole life revolves around bringing people together and just singing, whether it be, you know, the kirtan or doing this early childhood music. But it's really sweet, just singing and playing little percussion instruments and making people happy, because music just has a way of doing that, just bringing joy into people's lives and uplifting people. Yeah.
Speaking of playing a song, I'd like to introduce Dave the Bard and How and Toe. See y'all on the other side of the break, folks.
Take no scorn to wear the horn. Was the crest when you were born? Your father's father wore it, and your father wore it too. Day old to wear.
To International Pagan Radio. You can hear your favorite artists such as Dave the Bard, Tuatha Dea, Spiral Rhythm, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, and many, many more. Join us for exciting shows like Ask a Witch and Storytime with Rook as well. www.internationalpaganradio.com on the net or on TuneIn Radio on your mobile devices. Join us on Facebook and Twitter too. International Pagan Radio, all pagan, all the time.
Welcome back to an emerging forest on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We hope everyone was able to stretch their legs and get a drink. And now, back to Alan.
So here we are back from the break. And I think in this next segment, we want to actually listen to some of your music, right?
Sure.
So why don't you set up our first selection?
Okay. Well, I just wanted to say that, you know, you were asking me about how I got to where I was earlier, and my introduction to kirtan or mantra music was through an artist named Deva Pramal, and she's pretty well known in this field, and she has a record label.
Mine too.
yeah, she's amazing, very, very special. And when I heard her, I was like, "What is this music? It's amazing!" And I was hooked on it right away. And anyway, she's a part of a record label called White Swan Records. And coincidentally, in the last year, I've had two tracks from my latest album called The Bridge to Where You Are. And these two tracks have been featured on White Swan compilations, which, as you can probably imagine, really means a lot to me because of Deva, and you know, it's just really I have no words, you know. So anyway, so would like to play a song called Swameva Mata, which is a beautiful song that's basically saying to the divine that you are my mother, you are my father, you are my best friend, you are your wisdom, all the knowledge that I have, it comes from you, and all the abundance that comes to me, all is because of you. You are everything to me. And so that's the translation of the song. And the song is part in Sanskrit and part in English, and the English is just kind of a poetic form of the translation. So I hope you enjoy it.
Well, here it is.
Twahameva Mata Chapita Twameva Twameva Bandhu Chasika Twameva Twameva Vidya Dravina.
Mama.
Very nice.
Hey.
Very beautiful.
Yeah. So yeah, that's one of the couple songs on the album that people have told me, like, makes them cry in a good way. Like, just that.
Yeah.
Very heart opening.
It's a very free. It's as you said. It's all about as you've said from the top of the program. It's all about giving yourself permission to. As you said, the bridge to yourself, right? I don't understand you, but you're I don't understand you, but you're the reason I'm here. So even though I don't understand you, and even though sometimes things go in weird ways, I follow you. I give up my attempting to understand, but I do my best to
surrender
to,
and trust.
Be there. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I think the less we try to control things and the more that we just trust and realize that whatever is going on, like even if it appears to be unfavorable, that it's all a gift and it's all happening for a reason. And, you know, sometimes I think most of the time in retrospect, like down the road, we can see how these things benefit us. But it's often difficult in the middle of it, you know, when things aren't going quite the way we want them to, and just letting go, like not being attached to the results of things, you know, and just trusting it's all going to be okay. And it is.
That's why I was talking about the soul earlier and saying, hey, you remember those experiences that you still don't like, or that you still think were like outside of your path? They weren't.
Mm.
And you may get a feeling about that later, but maybe you never will, because your soul's needs are so much more broad than you can understand. So,
right.
So basically, if you come into it with faith in the overall thing, whatever comes to you because it's supposed to come to you, and you just accept it and you say, okay, that's a gift. I mean, we don't celebrate Christmas. I mean, when you celebrate everything as a gift, you celebrate the holiday every second.
Yeah. Nice. I like that thought.
So when someone says, follow your bliss, you look them in the eye and you say, oh, we always are.
Mm.
So, or when someone says, when someone says you need to be healed, I try not to be impolite, but I want to look them in the eye and say, how can I be healed from all the gifts that I've received? I'm only receiving gifts. So the things that are called injury, the things that are called injury in this society, were gifts.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't mind being repaired or being flushed or being whatever. I just mind the language and the connotation that you received something ill in your past.
Mm.
You know, in the journey. Yeah, when people try to sell you,
yeah,
a new,
like there is no good or bad, really. It's all just subjective. Yeah.
As we're talking here, it's basically like, hey, we come to the realization that it's all bliss, it's always bliss, and there's only bliss. And it's just a matter of changing your filter. It's just a matter of changing your language. So instead of instead of failure, I just basically say what yoga people say. Hey, it's practice, right? It's training.
Right.
And
right.
You have your yoga practice. Well, I'm practicing, and today I fell down and I skinned my knees. Or today I had this happen to me, and in the old society lingo that I used to be in, oh, that would be something that I would need to heal from. But since I'm training to get better at this, it's actually just something that happened to me in training. So I just need to, you know, go stretch this muscle out or go take care of this problem. But it didn't happen to me, and it's not an injury. It's just progress along the road. So I like I like to play with the Rumi out beyond the notions of wrongdoing and right doing. There's a field. I'll meet you there.
Mm-hmm.
I like to play with that and say, it's not the events that are coming to us. It's the filter that we put them through. And we can easily change the filter to say, oh, more bliss, oh, more bliss, oh, more bliss, oh, more bliss, and just stop saying, oh, that was a bad event, oh, that was a good event, oh, I really like this event more, I really like that event more. Just basically say,
right.
Everything that's on my plate is bliss.
I agree with that, but I also feel that we can change directions when things aren't feeling good. Like, if
Absolutely.
You feel like you are pushing yourself to swim upstream, then maybe you need to turn around and go with the flow of the river. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you know, where you're talking about reframing something, you know, you can also use that contrast to realize, you know, that you want to go a different direction.
Sure.
You don't have to just accept
agree.
Something and just stay in an intolerable situation and just say,
right,
well, I can
right.
just see the way I
mean,
think about
if
it. You know, you do have permission to do something else.
Yeah, if you're on fire and everybody's saying put yourself out, maybe it's a good idea to put yourself out.
True.
Yeah. So a lot of how I've kind of given myself permission and you know, gone the direction that I want to go in life is just saying yes, you know, to so many of us are quick to just like say, no, that's not practical, or no, I don't have enough money, or whatever the story is that we tell ourselves that keep us from just taking a leap of faith and saying yes to our heart's desires and just getting out there and doing it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when that movie, The Secret, came out like years ago, like, I mean, some people might think it's kind of a cheesy movie or whatever, but like that, like really changed my life, you know, because I was in a place in my life where I was trying to fit in the box and I was feeling like very depressed. And when I got turned on to that whole concept, it was like, wow, you mean like it's okay to be happy? Like I really have a right to be happy. This is my birthright. You know, and just started following my bliss again and, you know, the things that feed my soul. But, you know, I think you can tell, I mean, I know you're saying, well, there's things that we need that, you know, whatever. But, you know, when we're really, really happy and we're doing really what we love, like, I mean, we blossom. It's obvious, you know.
Right.
And so anyway, One of the things when, you know, I talked about 1990, where this whole thing started when I drove across country, that trip for me, like, ever since then, like, I've wanted to just live like that all the time. I just wanted to, like, travel and do music and have these adventures. And I wanted to live my life that way. And I've been, you know, slowly starting to do that again. And then the last few years have started traveling overseas to Bali, to India, and, you know, actually, you know, playing internationally. In the last year, I played in Amsterdam, and I, you know, was in India twice performing, and then traveling all over the country. And I just finally, like, it's been in the last year, like, several times I've rented camper vans because I wanted to know what, like, feel into that experience of what it's like to be, like, literally living out of a vehicle on the road, on tour, doing music, because it's always been my dream to do that. And, you know, trying it out by renting a vehicle, I realized that, yeah, this feels really natural to me. This feels really right and what I want to be doing with my life. And so just like maybe a month ago, it was like in May, I went ahead and I bought a Sprinter van, which is basically a shell, you know, and I'm converting it into a camper van, and it's eventually, you know, in a few years going to be my full-time home, and I'm going to be just touring and doing this music that I love to do. And so it's very exciting to take that leap, especially since, like, I had enough money to buy the van and start doing some of the conversion. But, you know, I've been doing fundraising to raise money to buy the materials that I need to turn this van into a home. And anyway, I just wanted to mention that I do have a fundraising campaign. And if anybody out there is listening and are interested in supporting, you know, me following my dreams and feel inspired to follow their own dreams too. But if anybody wanted to contribute, they could. Can I give my website?
Oh, absolutely.
Site is mysticalkirtan.com, and kirtan is spelled K-I-R-T-A-N. So all one word, mysticalkirtan.com. And there's a link on there. It says Bhakti Mobile Fundraising Campaign. And so if anybody did want to contribute to the conversion of this van into a camper, you can do so there. There's a donate button. And just by buying my music online, you can also download my music or order CDs from my website. And yeah, and that's helped support the van as well.
Mhm.
Yeah. So I don't know if you wanted to.
They were talking about your van last week.
What's that?
They were talking about your van last week.
I was?
Yeah, Dave was on
Dave.
The show.
Oh, Dave. Yeah, well, that was amazing. At the Touch Mother Earth gathering, we had kind of like a van raising. You've heard of a barn raising. We had a van raising. And we put solar panels, four solar panels, onto the roof of the van and, you know, connected it up with all the components that are necessary to running your own electricity, so I can be totally off the grid with this van. It's amazing. And I won the solar shower that they were raffling off at the festival. Somebody else actually won it and they gave it to me, which was very sweet. So props out to sweetheart William Painter, who was kind enough to give me the solar shower.
Dave was kind of blown away. He was saying, and another guy won the solar shower and but turned around and gave it to Mirabai.
Yeah, totally sweet. Yeah, so that's the kind of stuff. I've been totally blown away by the love that and the outpouring of generosity from people to help me raise money for the van, and it's been really special. Yeah. So I don't know if you were wanting to play another song off the CD.
I basically wanted to get all of our talking done, and then play a sample of one of the two songs that we have queued up, and then say goodnight. Does that sound reasonable?
Sounds reasonable.
So, Dave, would you give your contact information?
Yeah, just my email address, dwhitman0906@gmail.com.
And my name is Alan Ritter. I'm the host of An Emerging Forest. I run a small produce business in the southeastern Pennsylvania and southern New Jersey area. You can find that at produceclub.us. My email address for the Produce Club and for being on this radio show or for general contact is RITTER.ALAN88@gmail.com. And so which of these two tracks do you want to play, Govinda or Jai Shiva Shambho?
Let's do Jai Shiva Shambho, and the reason being is that we were talking about, you know, kind of releasing things that no longer serve us and, you know, going towards the bliss. And Shiva is the great transformer. And one of the lines in it is Hara 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 Mahadev, and what that means is take this great God. So we're surrendering to Shiva, who Shambho is the giver of joy. He gives us joy through that liberation of release from letting go of what's standing in the way of being our highest and best selves and, you know, our true selves. So
it's interesting.
Take us out.
He's interesting as a both the he's the master of shadows, and a monk that I knew basically said, it's interesting that most people see him as a remover of shadows, but he is also a placer of shadows as well. So here's Jai Shiva Shambho.
Jai Shiva Shambho.
That's so sweet.
All right.
Thank you, Nearby, for being on tonight.
Oh, wow.
And
thank
I wish you all the best. Stay in touch and tell me what's going on. And if you or another of your group want to promote something that you got coming up, that's what I'm here for. And just,
sure.
Send me a hey, we've got a festival, or hey, we've got a something coming up, and
Love Light Festival in September, it's in Maryland, I'm playing in Oregon at Beloved Festival in August. So, if anybody wants to go to a couple amazing festivals.
You have a calendar. Basically, that's going to be on mysticalkirtan.com, right?
Yeah. And I've got a whole tour happening in July of Maryland, Virginia, and D.C. So definitely please check my website, mysticalkirtan.com.
Yeah, Mystical Kirtan for all those dates and locations.
Yeah, and the festival in Oregon is August 10th through the 14th, and the Love Light Festival is, I believe, the 21st around there of September. September. I should have these memorized, but I don't. So.
Well, thank you for being on the show. Keep in touch. Thank you, David, for once again on the show.
Thank you, Mirabai.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks, David. Nice to meet you.
You as well.
And if I could, I have so much time with this interface. Oh, come on, there we go. I think...
Thank you, everyone, for listening. This has been another episode of An Emerging Forest, which happens every Sunday night at 9 p.m. And we're live, and call in when we're live because you can be on the radio, too. Thanks, everyone. Good night.
Namaste.
For listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith.
And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.